Sending the message. Hump
Day!
Hump Day! Yeah! I was like, it's me as a camel.
Colin Hump Day.
Stick knee. Semicolon. See, I've just owned it.
We actually, Mike talked to us about the Colin semicolon Ken thing that he did, and like, when I saw that whole video, when they got to my part, when they were like, it's Chris Nielsen and Alex, too many last names, Fulmer, and Colin semicolon Ken, I was just like, dude, as soon as that thing started, I almost peed myself. Like, it was so good. So, welcome to Name Redacted Podcast.
Cold open, what's up?
That cold open. Immediately talking about Matthew Sweet and Ken Balls.
Let me blow this sweet cloud.
So... today we're doing kind of a re-record of a previous episode we had.
Oh, the table just buckled.
So we have, as always, I'm Alexander Fulmer, and with me are my co-hosts.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
I'm Colidors.
Oh my God. Just the absolute the worst timing ever, right there. And we have one of
Let me shot get some of that vape juice.
you're like saying we're doing for like splitting a beer. Like shotgunning vapes.
That's how we know Chris has like truly reached crust punk level.
Hey dude, you spare a dollar? Let me breathe in your exhale from that vape.
So we have
I don't buy it, but you know, whatever.
I don't think it's actually better for me, but I want it.
You got a beer?
Every dude in front of NYP ever.
Every time. So we have
returning. I'm like high balling when I go there, dude.
Are you like the most like?
He's the king of the crust punk.
I got cigarettes for days.
Just like King Solomon of crust punk. Like. Who's like Squire Strat is this? Like, you gotta cut it in half. I don't know where I'm going.
Cut the pee base in half.
Somebody with lipstick pickups and Chris loses his mind. That is not punk enough. So we have a returning guest with us today, our good buddy Reed Pegram, who is a local stand-up comedian and also comic book enthusiast. He actually asked us if we could do a little bit more comic booky stuff with him, and not just do the cut.
He didn't ask us that. We told him that.
Well, a little bit of both.
It's more than welcome, though.
Yeah. Well, it's cool to get the perspective of somebody who's on the podcast usually for something else.
Yeah.
To get your perspective on something that we cover a lot.
I want a super fights with Reed.
We could do a super fights with Reed.
Is that just kind of like pick two characters?
Colin, don't. Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
I'm just being a dick.
So we actually also, a very good friend of ours that we have booked for a later date is here listening in with us. A good friend of ours that we've talked about quite a bit on the show. Good.
Don't laugh too hard. You got to fuck up that bat symbol.
Just
that's the perfect
Chris thing. Over here, like just
as
putting
he pulls out the eraser,
just putting doubt into his mind until he erases shit. Our very good friend, an excellent artist, Matari. He's okay. Matari Bain is here. He probably won't be talking too much. He's over here. He brought me my birthday present. And he's over here drawing and kind of hanging out and listening, and we appreciate the fact that he's here.
I'm editing in the chub right now. It's really nice.
He's drawing a real sweet red hood. I'm pretty excited about it.
Like female anatomy?
Oh, God. Just no. Already a vagina joke?
Wait. No. We do need to talk about Colin's vagina joke.
Oh, God.
What do you mean? That should be known about it getting retweeted.
Your tweet about fucking...
I did that bit at NCSA.
When you did that joke, it got retweeted by a fitness site.
By a health food blog. Yeah. It's called,
really?
The wheatgrass lady.
Yeah. and they just didn't get... The puss reference?
I think they thought it was genuinely funny and retweeted it.
Yeah. Like, it seemed to me like they didn't
get it. I feel like they didn't get it. But
which makes it better.
Yeah. The weirdest even better. Thing about
you,
Twitter.
Did you see the? Did you?
I,
see
didn't,
the
I didn't actually see it.
Well, no, I mean, apparently there's this like trend of girls like putting balls of herbs in their vagina to detox them.
Finally,
in air quotes, shit, right? Finally.
When it's just like the Puritans.
And so I said, if you know, ladies, if you are participating in the herbal detox trend, please remember to remove the bay leaves before serving.
I did see that. Now.
But this, yeah, you saw it on Facebook, but this wheatgrass lady blog was retweeted it, and I was like, I made it.
Do they use bay leaves in wheatgrass shots at all?
No, like, no, not even at all.
It's no, just, but part of the thing, just, no, the whole, but the whole Twitter account was all like detox programs.
Yeah.
Nice.
God.
I recently got retweeted by Butt Stuff 2016. So. Dude, Twitter's so weird. I don't know if I'm doing it right at all, but
that's how you know you're doing it right.
If you're confused about whether or not it's going well, then you're probably doing a bang up job. Like, if we're being honest. So we
shout out to Butt Stuff.
Shout out to Butt Stuff. That guy's killer. So don't even.
He really just the issues, man. And you know that like there's no corporations in his back pocket.
Bert's not interested in Twitter
campaign finance reform. Butt Stuff.
I'm voting for Vermin Supreme.
So. I was actually choice. my presidential vote this year is going to Deadmau5. So
you're gonna vote for Deb? He's Canadian.
Yeah.
So is Ted Cruz.
Yeah. So fuck it.
Vermin Supreme is the only presidential candidate that has a plan in place for the zombie apocalypse.
Yes. And he wants to double the amount of fluoride in our water. For our teeth, for your kids' teeth, Vermin Supreme 2016. He wears a boot on his head. Come on.
Here's the kidney failure.
So
I've been getting way too into
Gatorade and a Coors Light.
Yeah. Oh god, that sounds like a sitcom.
I like Gatorade and I like beer. Watch what happens when worlds collide this weekend. Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris and I this weekend went to
I'm so hydrated. I'm not hydrated at all. Quick pee in my mouth. Credits. That's it.
It's our elevator pitch. Yeah. We're meeting with Dan Harmon next week.
Yeah, Reed, legit. I know I'm putting you on the spot here on air, but if you get free time and our free times line up, I would love to do like a Robot Chicken-y kind of like 3-second sketch thing with you.
Okay,
that'd be fun.
That would be really cool.
You have to.
Now I have to.
It's on record.
Yeah, like this is going up on the internet, and then people are like, "Yo, man, you remember that reference that never happened?"
Yeah, I've talked about so much shit on this podcast
that never came through.
Remember.
We're gonna get an email of some kid like 5 years from now who goes back and listens to all the episodes in order, and he was like, "You guys never did that thing you talked about in episode 16," and I'm gonna be like, there was an episode 16? I didn't even know that. Like,
did you guys see that thing with the twin savants who could tell you anything Pat Sajak wore ever?
Dead air. Dead air.
Oh, sorry. I don't even know how to properly respond.
What news aggregate could you get that from?
Like, no, there was like a...
Fox
like a
savants of the week?
It's a Twitter account.
Obscure Sports Quarterly. ESPN Man. 8 The Ocho. Oh,
have you seen that guy who... Here's makes your... mashed potatoes into the shark from Jaws.
It's the Autist Hall of Fame. Sorry, trigger warning.
Old Blue in first with 177. Long Donovan following in second with 146. Tang in third place with 119. And that is your Fish Center 5 seconds for the week.
Go, Long Donovan.
Long Donovan is killing it, man. Yeah, dude.
You should start a fucking fantasy.
I want to do. Do you know about Fish Center?
I have no
idea. Give them the quick pitch.
So basically, these dudes at Adult Swim have a web show. They air it on air in the middle of the night.
Brilliant.
And it's a camera on a fish tank with a Photoshop overlay. They put coins on that, and anytime a fish swims through a coin, they get a point or lose a point, depending on what coin it is.
Oh, okay.
And they just do Sports Center commentary over the whole thing.
Oh my god, it's really great.
And they keep running stats and like... And it's a call-in show. People like get pissed off at Fish, like giving death threats. And
it was basically probably two interns that had nothing better to do one day because they didn't have enough time. Didn't need to go get coffee.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's absolutely.
It's the most brilliant thing that I've done on Adult Swim in a long time.
It's pretty cool.
An intern, I feel like Adult Swim. That would.
I feel like Adult Swim is just where interns go to have real jobs.
I feel like Adult Swim might
have been
be
trying
one
to be interns for William Street for like
oh
a
dude
decade.
for like 4 years straight. We tried so hard to try to get fucking to find out how we could get fucking like Doc Hammer and Jackson Public from the Venture Brothers to get us to come to fucking Space Lab.
Oh man,
and like. And be interns. And there's even a part in their commentary about the show where they're like, we get questions from people all the time about wanting to come work with us at the Space Lab. And, like, we just, no. Like, you don't want to be here. It's tiny. It's cramped. We smell. We smoke. like we don't do interns anyway. Stop asking us. And Colin and I were still like, no, we got it. We can do it.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's even just like, oh, well, we're comparable.
Not Space Lab. Astrobase Go. Sorry.
Well, I mean, when we saw the behind the scenes of Astrobase, it's a fucking closet.
It is, dude. It's tiny, and like, there's no room for another person, especially with all of Doc Hammer's paintings just stacked up in the fucking room. Like,
just the reek of Marlboro Lights and coffee.
Like, they actually, you hear them on the commentary packing cigarettes and lighting
and
them.
And, like, opening a Zippo.
And, like, opening the packs and shit. And they're just like, oh, what? And Jackson's like.
You can hear, like, when Doc has one in his mouth because he talks like that.
Like, and Jackson's like, what are you doing there, Doc? And he's like, oh, I'm opening a pack of my favorite cigarettes that I got sent by a fan. A true fan sends you cigarettes. And then you just hear, click, sk.
Also, when they eat fan chocolate,
like those are two of the like.
We need to like get drunk one day and just feach.
Yeah, no shit,
I
man.
I miss feaching.
Feaching is fun. This
hashtag
is,
feaching.
Yeah, well, Colin and I a while ago kind of stumbled upon a thing that we love called feaching, which is essentially just finding like DVDs and like TV series that you love, putting them in your DVD player, and just watching the features. Okay. Just watch the special. Okay. Don't watch any of the regular show or movie. Watch only special features. And we used to sit down and for hours, just used to veg out on features. And that's it.
Alone, do you know how many times I've watched the Quentin Tarantino commentary track of True Romance?
Yeah.
Oh, it's obscene.
The I watched the commentary track of Venture Brothers.
Wait, that's interesting. We just glossed over that. How many films have a writer commentary track?
Well, it's Tarantino.
Yeah, it was interesting because he's not the director of the film.
But it was also it was the Criterion Collection version.
Lucky Number 11, I think, also has one because I watched it. Yeah, which is weird because it's Lucy Liu and Josh Hartnett talking, and then they splice in the commentary from the writer. So it's Lucy Liu and Josh Hartnett talking about fucking nothing, and then the writer being like, "I just want to talk about the blue chairs." And I was like, "All right, cool, man." And like, he has some really cool, interesting shit to say. You're just like. It doesn't make sense with the rest of the commentary because he's not with Lucy Liu and Josh Hartnett.
You can tell it was recorded separately.
Yeah. And they even tell you that it was recorded separately, but you're just like, the pacing of this is so fucking wrong.
George Lucas gives the best worst commentary on all the prequels.
See, like, because I've watched, you know, the Empire Strikes Back with the commentary. What was his name? The director?
Kirshner.
Dude, that guy is wacko.
Yeah. But he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's just got the best voice.
Yeah, Erwin Kirshner, I think.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is where they kiss.
So super.
And it makes you, like, anti-boner, like, so hard, you know, like.
Well, he just thought it would be he's the most Jewy guy ever.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. He's, like, it's one of those moments where, like, when you hear that guy's voice, where there's no, like, he could run over the commentary of, like, the sexiest shower scene in a porno ever.
Oh, yeah.
And your dick would just crawl inside your body.
Yeah.
Like, and you would just have a vaginas for the rest of your life. Like,
shout out, Natalie.
What up, tiny person? So, we have we haven't even introduced you yet. Again, it's so stupid. All right.
He's been on the show before. They know who the fuck he is.
No, I did do that. I'm so out of it.
You said his name. Yeah. You tell us about what you do.
Reed. This is going to be like for the next 5 minutes. I'm just going to be saying, man, just Reed Pegram. What do you do? Reed Pegram.
He's a Pokemon. Like, God damn it.
Get out of my head.
He's trying to, like, both of us were just racing to that.
I saw that. was like,
we were looking at each other like, who's gonna say it first?
Like, I feel like I understand the capacity of people who like sports like in that moment.
Like, all right, no, we just had a Jeopardy buzzer fight.
I think on Jeopardy, if you ring in too late, there should be like a negative.
Yeah, so
it
should like shock you.
Give you a zap. And I think that would really up the stake. I mean, it's 2016. We need
get a shark pitch also. I would like, shark pitch. I would like somehow.
If you're the third person, person to ring, or second person.
Bloodletting. Like if you go into the negative, you have to give up 2 pints of blood.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's
can
a
we
giant.
Move to Japan, this would totally go on air. There.
There's just a giant ceiling of spikes that moves down 2 inches every time you do it. Like
the only show where we put electric battery clamps on the nipples of baccalaureates.
This Rhodes Scholar is fucked.
Oh, watch a Nobel Prize winner go head-to-head against this video game nerd with a staple gun 3 inches under his ballsack.
What is Donkey Kong?
He just gets, like, Daniel Stern'd from, like, Home Alone. Oh, so far.
Oh, no. So, Reed, tell us a little bit about what you do.
I do comedy, I guess. Like, it's a definitive thing, I guess.
Make people laugh, I do.
I try to, sometimes, some nights, not at all. Sometimes I wonder what I do. If I'm a professional, go 2 hours out of town to speak for 5 minutes.
Is that why stand-ups refer to themselves as stand-ups rather than comedians? I always stand up. Yeah. I don't always do comedy.
Well, I guess comedians is more umbrella term
kind of. I often hear like a lot of comedians refer to themselves as comics.
Yeah.
As opposed to a comedian, which I think is interesting.
Well, yeah, because I feel like comics is kind of, being a comic is kind of interchangeable with stand up.
Yeah.
Comedian is kind of.
It also sounds kind of hacky.
Well, yeah. Because I think what really ruined it was comedy magician. Kind of like,
okay,
yeah, like the comedy magician thing kind of ruined the term comedian, because like that's what it was associated with in like the late 80s early 90s, that exactly. Like that Jonathan the Amazing,
I like Jonathan,
I do, he's like, oh, yeah. Well, he's like the only good one.
I'll tell you, like, he was a true comedian.
But he was more, they're just straight magicians.
They're magicians that happen to be clever, witty, and funny.
True modern comedian, and that terminology of comedian, John Mulaney.
Yeah,
so John Mulaney is like the best right now.
Yeah,
he's so
good. Is. He is the new Jerry Seinfeld, if you ask me.
Dude,
like
new.
Oh
in
yeah,
town.
But like, oh, so much better.
But so much better.
Like for me, like that was totally.
But not thing. To. But not talk like doing airplane jokes.
Yeah.
Like
who's shaving on the airplane?
Dude, fucking, I love John Mulaney's New in Town. That is,
it's
yeah,
so
it's
good.
So like, and I just the actual New in Town bit is amazing.
Oh,
it's so good. I'm gay, I have HIV, and
I'm homeless,
and I'm new in town. Like, how did you choose the order in which, and he pushes you.
He's just like, push. No, just push.
I highly recommend anybody who hasn't seen that.
He starts out with just AIDS, like, hi, I have AIDS, I'm too strong. Yeah, I saw him at the Duke Energy Theater, I guess it was there in Raleigh, when he was coming through. And apparently he hadn't, like, he flew in from Dubai to this show. He hadn't slept for, like, 36 hours. And this dude...
And he did an hour?
An hour 10, hour 20. And just murder-killed this theater.
Does that shit does that shit piss you off?
It's
like
when
somebody just gets up and murders?
Pissed off and then, like...
So much respect.
Respect and, like, inspiration. But, like, you could see it in this dude's, like... He wasn't phoning it in either. You can tell kind of when people
phone
shit.
It's kind of like when the Red Hot Chili Peppers, like, when they were doing shows in the 90s and stuff, and people talked about, like, you could tell that these guys had no energy, but they were still, like, Flea was still gluing his thumb back together.
Yeah. Well, that's cocaine.
Yeah. Like, it, well,
well, you know what, though? I mean, I think I can relate to that a little bit, because, like, you know, when we go to Heroes,
God.
It's day three, and,
if
we're still having to fucking do business on day three, and we've slept a cumulative, like, 4 or 5 hours over the course of the past 2 days, like,
well,
you sort of hit that autopilot, and I think there's a certain level of, like, What's the word I'm looking for? Like nakedness, like genuineness that comes out. And I think that lends itself to comedy well. So if you can manage to muster up that 12th wind energy, a certain level of
maybe
like
for open mic tomorrow, I just won't sleep.
Yeah, just won't sleep.
It's kind of.
I think I'm actually at the best when I don't sleep.
Yeah,
because
you don't give a
not
fuck
the night before.
Yeah. Also, your body's going into preservation mode, so you're a lot sharper.
Oh, yeah.
So no, maybe we'll just starve ourselves and not sleep. And
you get
we'll
snippy?
Let's do 5 minutes on no sleep tomorrow.
You get one person giving you a snide comment in the audience, and they just let you run with 10 minutes of bits on them just because it's so funny. They're like, whatever, you had 5 minutes, and it was done 16 minutes ago. But fuck it, this guy is getting murdered by you, and we're just going to let it happen.
Yeah, it'd be like the cool thing, picking those dudes up and just throw them into one of those 3 pinball machines.
I really hope the guys that were heckling people the first night come back.
Oh,
because I will lay a guy.
There's some nights you want
just donkey
someone to heckle
shit.
You, like repeat. You want a target. Yeah, you want just someone to murder.
Do you have repeat hecklers? Like, do you have people that it just, like, turns into, like, a thing?
Like, they just come to shows just to
heckle? Well, you do a show, somebody heckles you, you're like, ah, fuck this guy. And the next week, you're like, hey, he starts heckling you. And then, like, third week, you just lay into him, but he's into it. So,
oh,
week
I would
four,
do it by
it's
the
just,
second
like,
time.
Mutual.
Yeah, if it was, I don't know, I think I would do it by the second time.
Yeah.
You know?
You do it once, and that's cause enough for if you do it again, I lay into
you. But do you have people that are into it and try to riff with you?
Yeah,
as hecklers?
Dude, and, like, that's, like, my biggest, that was, like, the dude at the box on Thursday. It was, like, his first time, I don't know. It was a pretty thin crowd, and he was just at the front, and, like, you know, Capers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, Capers is hosting. And it's no energy all night. Like, it's everyone's fault. Like, it's everyone's fault, you know? Like,
it was just everybody just off?
Yeah, just everyone was off. And this dude's just like, John's just like, bring up your next comic. This guy's like one of my good. And this dude in the front's just like, hey, you look like. And then it's just like, cut that dude off. Like, what? Yeah, he's like riffing like in between comics. It's like in the front row.
He's like riffing bits with you. That's fucking.
He's like the scary. He has like bald head and like this goat. He's like school shooter number 6. Like, in like film credits, it's like, that guy was like conceived at a KKK. You know? Like,
that guy was not chosen for this role. He just meandered in because he thought it was a rally.
No,
like, he's not an extra. He just happened to think that this was a thing that was happening and he needed to be here. And they just kept him in the movie.
Let's play this character out. One point he'll get a gun.
Acting? Yeah. School? Yeah.
I went to NYU. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Yo, I'm sorry. I got a question.
Yes, sir.
When we do our round of super fights, would you be willing to illustrate the super fight?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Okay.
That's awesome.
But yeah, dude, like, I've always wondered about hecklers and crowd work and stuff, because I actually mentioned this earlier before we started recording, but Chris and I had a small conversation about doing stand-up, and I don't think that everybody's got that style of wit in them in comedy or in, like, humor in them to do stand-up, and I personally think that I don't have that style of comedy in me. Like, I don't have it because I don't have the ability to, like, just think about jokes and write them down and then try them and shit. Like, I don't have somebody to work with, because everything that I say that's funny, essentially, is just reactionary to someone else talking.
Yeah.
You're a straight man.
Might be more of an improv kind of guy.
Well, I used to do that growing up.
But he's got an acting background too.
Yeah, but the thing is that almost everything that I say that's like actually got humor in it is just based on something someone else said that I just want to make fun of.
Mm.
So like, and I've got a 5-minute bit. I just think it's shitty.
No, man. I'm sure knowing you as a person, you're funnier than most people at open mics.
Have you been to Hoots open mic?
Oh,
wow.
When I went up there and Colin went for the first time, like, I was legitimately debating, like, taking the free beer route because the competition, the bar was
Well, like, the thing is that...
aside from, like, Zoe and Allred...
There's some good people.
There was, like, some punny dudes there that night, right? It was all... Yeah.
Maybe I'll just get up and tell all my superhero puns, and then
I will fucking throw things at you.
Tomatoes. I will bring tomatoes.
I don't know. I will just heave glassware at
you. They got plenty of board games in the back.
Monopoly pieces and shit.
Hey, buy a house.
I will throw a full Rock and Sock and Robot.
Because they have it. I will pry that diving helmet
off the bar. And I will drown you in it. No, man, like
just beer spraying everywhere.
And Colin just sitting there as a silhouette beating the fuck out of me with
and
a
I'm
helmet.
Just like over the beer, just water fountain.
But I think that's like, when you get two beers, because I think you deserved it.
Well, yeah. I Chris had this really cool, like, anti-comedy bit that he was talking about doing that I think is brilliant.
Yeah. You're about to ruin my material.
No, I just, it's, and like he told me.
All I have to say is Three Ring Binder.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Well, and yeah. He
you guys really like that?
I think it's amazing.
I told you about that?
Yeah, I don't think you told him about Three Ring
Binder. Okay.
If you want to wait till after.
Nah, fuck it, I'll talk about
it. Okay, go ahead.
The idea that I'm, like, nerdy dude who, like, is very socially awkward. And
pocket
got,
protector.
Like, yeah. Like black skinny tie and, like, super, like, within myself and just, like, a stack of, like, just disorganized papers.
I mean, this is, like, a character.
Yeah, it's, like, a character stand-up bit. Yeah. And it's all just, like, just bad comedy to the point of
being
a
hilarious.
Joke.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, obviously just break character and be like, thank you guys so much, have a good night, your next comic so-and-so, blah, 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 and then just walk off.
Yeah.
And it's pure, and it's like he's a theory nerd, so he's just giving it a shot.
It's just pure
like,
anti-humor.
And like,
no one's doing that right now.
And like, the, like
you should have done that at Conor.
My favorite... My favorite idea in that is that he tells the joke and looks up and nobody laughs. And just pulls the page out and drops it on the floor.
I think that was reading the wrong punchlines to jokes that everybody knows.
And reading it and then going, wait. And then flipping the page.
And then flipping it back.
The
right punch when you start the setup and like what page you're on, then you go like, impossible. And then you
subsection
find the punch
C, page
like 20 pages later.
Like, and I think
it's a footnote. Or
and that's
the
other
punch, and it's because the pages are stuck together.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, like, I like the element of it, like what Rin said, like the uncomfortable amount of tech. The four blink roll, the Family Guy four, the idea that I'm flipping through pages quick, and then I just stop and I read a page, turn a page,
read a page.
Even better, read the page.
Yeah, no, like, it's good enough for you, but you're like, he's fucking...
Dude, Matari's sitting across the table, he looks up, he goes, yeah.
No, right?
No, like...
If you don't do it, I will, fuck you.
I'm gonna do it.
Well, the funny thing is that Chris and I yesterday...
I have to find the right room for it.
Because, no, I just need to invite people to it, because I need to have a salad. Because the best element of that to me would be... Doing that on a room that totally isn't in on the joke.
Yes.
Except for like four dudes who are laughing their ass off.
Like Chris in there, and then the four of us in the room, and everybody else is just a total like, it's like we're four plants.
Those people think that you guys are the assholes for laughing at me.
Yeah. If you want to do like a room that's very traditional.
Yeah.
Like you like doing like the Greensboro Comedy Zone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Dude,
good night.
See, like I have... Like the thing was that like yesterday, Chris and I actually went out to Charlotte's mini con, which was super fantastic and super fun. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Laughing gas would be perfect.
Laughing gas would be fun.
That's what I was thinking.
But we were walking down the street, and I had that same moment Colin just had, where Chris told me a story, and my reaction to his story was, "If you don't put that in a stand-up bit, I'm stealing it from you."
Yeah.
Because it's fucking perfect.
Oh yeah.
And like Chris is just like, "Oh, then I'm doing it. I'm putting it in a bit." I was like, "Good, because I'm not kidding, and I'll steal that from you."
So, oh shit! That's... I can work the Philip K. Dick joke into the character.
Yes. Yeah,
that would be a good joke for the character.
Somebody about that the other day.
Yeah, did they appreciate
it? Yeah, like, it was just like, that's... Who was doing Philip K. Dick jokes? I was like, I know, right? Exactly. How much, like, Trump bullshit do we have to sit through so we get to a great Philip K. Dick joke?
That's beautiful.
Like, I want to, like, arrange a comedy show where, you know, like, Orson Scott Card is in Greensboro. Yeah. Somehow get him to be there, and then you just drop the Philip K.
And then like, he just leaves.
He gets this weird pissed. Jealousy. Like, I listen to me. I wrote Ender's Game. Mormonism. And then he just has a column in the Rhino Times. He's so butthurt.
This episode brought to you by
Good Sci-Fi.
The Rhino Times. But yeah, man, like we
the only reason I read the Rhino Times was because they syndicated Get Fuzzy.
Isn't Chuck Norris's column there?
I'm sure it is. Chuck Norris, yeah. Well, that's a conservative paper.
Yeah, it's a conservative rag for sure.
Yeah. But it's also indie. It's conservative indie, which is interesting.
Which indie is indie? I don't give a shit what your political leaning is. Do your damn thing. Yeah. Well, I don't give a shit. I don't agree with it. Fuck them. But I mean,
but it's interesting to read conservative indie as opposed to like big box conservative Fox News.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, Chris and I went to the MiniCon yesterday, and it's kind of fun for us to be able to have Reed on tonight, because usually we talk to him about comedy when he's on the show, and he actually is really big into comics as well, which is fun because he performs as Batman doing comedy.
Still
which
a
is...
virgin.
I wanted to throw it to him like an NPR, where he's like, I'm still a virgin. But your Batman character has played quite a lot.
It's like I'm so detached from the character that it's like, a totally different person. Yeah. And also, it's weird that I just get pussy in a Batman.
Oh, man.
They tell me to leave on the costume.
I've banged in that costume. I'm not going to lie, I've totally had sex in that costume.
Dude, please tell me it's not the costume that has, like, the arm guard spikes.
They're like floppy. They're just like.
Until it gets turned on and they just stand right up.
Oh, God. It's a reactionary joke. I get it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really fun, though. Man. It's a good opportunity to get away from your normal material and just kind of do character stuff. I really am kind of getting into like doing character kind of work now.
Well, somebody said something about how fucking impressive it was that you were doing crowd work as Batman and kept
we were talking about it yesterday. Yeah. Actually. We got
one of our comedy Valentine's Day show or
no, like
we, yeah, okay. last year how yeah. you were at the Valentine's Day show, you started, you did way more crowd work than you intended to. but how part of your material was just in character crowd work as Batman, and it was our comedy friend from Charlotte, and he was just like, man, that's no little
shit. He was basically like, I give him huge respect for that, because it is really hard to do crowd work and not break character doing crowd work.
Well, I think I broke at one point. I think when that guy did the pseudo break
because he was in character. Batman was a stand-up comic. Like, he was Batman doing stand-up comedy as Batman, because Batman was trying to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, that's good.
And the dude, you tell the story.
Yeah, well, like, what, it's probably, like, it's the start of the show, right?
It's pretty early. Yeah, it's an early show, like, maybe, like, 8, 15.
Yeah, I mean, I plan on doing, like, 5. I didn't, like, have to do the whole night. So, yeah, it was a lot of crowd work. A lot of NYP crowd work. That is a very specific kind of crowd work.
Somewhat easier, somewhat difficult.
It's kind of, you get like some interesting new kind of like angles on stuff. But
easy
it's
targets,
like...
poor reactions.
I've never had so much beer thrown at me in my life.
You guys are like, well, I don't understand you. I don't.
They're like, nah, man, it's a compliment.
Yo, calm down. Fuck.
I bought you a beer, but I couldn't get it to you, so I just threw it at the stage.
I just threw it at you, like.
You're Batman.
Out of the fabric get, of your clothes layer.
If you're Batman, you should be quick enough to catch this. Get on your game, Batman. It's my day off.
here's the other important piece of this is Reed has a mustache, and Reed had an even bigger mustache at the time, and the mustache was coming through the Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And there's definitely a picture on my Tinder account of me with mustache Batman holding a birthday cake.
That's kind of like the picture of me.
That's a lot of responsibility on my part. I'm like this weird wingman.
Batman's getting me laid.
It's funny because like I have that picture of me on Facebook of me wearing the clone trooper helmet. And my beard was so big at the point that it sucked 4 inches out from the bottom of the helmet. And I just kept turning and people were like, dude, what the fuck? Like, there's just this big brown mass sticking out the bottom of this stark white helmet.
Commander Cody really let himself go.
So Reed is just doing stand-up. And there's no pretense to the comment, right? There was nothing. You weren't speaking on the topic.
It was a cold open. Right. I just went up. I think you intro'd me.
Yeah.
And I'm going through, like, the Batman stuff I have. Like, you know, because that's the cool part about doing it, too, is, like, I have a lot of Batman material myself.
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm getting to do it as Batman. And it's, like, insane to me. Like,
that's why I don't do Batman. Because I can't do Batman jokes because you've got the market cornered.
No,
Batman
and like jokes. I like kind of feel like bad about that sometimes.
That guy's doing Batman jokes.
No, but
fuck
you know what? You know what? Reed knows his shit because he was doing crowd work as Batman and it was all canonical.
Yeah.
That's like my number one rule when I'm in character is it has to be pre-canon. Or it has to be canon.
I love your your fucking hot tub joke.
That shit. That was from that night. Yeah. It didn't get a laugh and I was so bummed. But
okay, what was the comment that was
made? Yeah,
everything was hitting that night.
Yeah, so it was like, I think it was right after, it's during like kind of like the love life advice. You know?
People are asking for advice from Batman about their problems, and he's answering in character.
This is what Batman would do.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I had like a girlfriend. She was like, all right, tried to make a clone from me, and then you know, well, your dad's got a cool hot tub.
I love that, like, that's a Lazarus Pit joke, and like, there's probably one guy in the back of the audience that's just like, Chris is just in the back going, ha!
No, you can ask me. I was laughing so hard the entire bar. There's like 100 people. The entire bar was just looking at me. It's like, why is that funny?
Those are the most satisfying hits for me, though. Like, it's like one person. But yeah, then like just that, and then out of nowhere, this guy who was just like standing. It's weird because there's no one around me. Like,
because everybody's sitting back in the booths just watching.
And so he was like, does he like say hey or some person's like hey?
Yeah,
I got a wider dick than you. Just like, I mean, dude, I'm wearing spandex for the time, so I'm just like, has anyone been able to see my dick this whole time? It's like, am I gonna be able to pull off this character? Knowing, plus, like,
who knows how big Batman's
dick is? I got a
wider
dick than you.
Yeah,
like, no, it was so great.
Wait, white or wide?
Wider.
Wider. I have a wider dick than you.
Width.
Like it's girth. Stubby, but like that motherfucker's fat. I've got a kingpin penis.
like a nesting Russian doll. Yeah. Like the last one. Like the innermost.
It's not even wider than the top, just the shaft is wider.
And just a normal sized head.
So moral of the story, Reed, in a very meta manner, managed to pseudo break character and say, that is the weirdest heckle I've ever gotten. Just to the dude's face.
It was a very sincere statement, though. Still to this day, it might be the weird. Would you consider that guy pulling his dick out?
Next time he performed it, that would be.
Well, my thought was, sir, did you think today you'd walk out the house going, I'm going to tell Batman I've got a wider dick than you?
Maybe that's like, maybe he's had like a huge grudge against Batman
since like 89.
You're out there working through some stuff.
Maybe Costner like stole his girlfriend.
You mean Keaton?
Oh, so, yeah, Keaton.
And that was it. And that was it. And the girlfriend came back and he was like, so how's Batman? Like, your dick's wider.
Your dick's wider. Yeah. Holding on to that. Since 1992.
Isn't that like a kind of therapy where like role play is involved? And like,
yeah, it's immersion therapy. Yeah.
With Batman, that's
Colin,
a schedule.
Colin coming in with the scientific evidence for like therapy through Batman.
Yeah.
I'll find a way.
I think this might be a good way for me to like make money, honestly. I think you should start a...
You should just start a...
Batman like, immersion.
Batman and Macho Man.
Total holistic medicine, like...
Oh, yeah.
Just yell whatever you want to. Just take it, you know. Cut a promo.
Hand him a Slim Jim.
Dude, this year
like my gold star.
This year at Valentine's Day,
you get a monster size beer.
This year at fucking Valentine's Day,
step into a Slim Jim.
This year at Valentine's Day, everybody who asks a relationship question gets a Slim Jim.
You want to do Macho Man this year?
I could probably do it.
We can get some Slim Jims.
Cool.
We have to make you a costume.
Yeah, no, I can't think I can grow a beard, and I can't grow a beard, so I don't know. I can't do it. I can work it.
Do you want some of mine?
Yeah, can you help brother out, man? Just do gorilla mask.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I would love to do that.
That'd be fucking cool.
Macho Man character.
So I've always been curious, like, how much does your, like, comic book background and nerdiness, like, really influence your, like, average, everyday bit, like, or, like, your sets and stuff?
Oh, dude, like a lot. Like, a ton. So much. It's really hard for me to write without, like, even, like, a long bit, and then, like, oh, you just throw, like, a Blade Runner reference. Like, it's not, like, you know, it's not
so
bit.
You're doing Philip K. Dick jokes.
Yeah, no. Like, it's me and you.
It's a very selective club.
We're, like, the, like, Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn of which they are probably sci-fi. Also. Yeah.
I've actually noticed that both of those guys don't have nearly as many... Well, Posehn does, but Patton Oswalt does a pretty good job of, like, leveling it out for non-nerdy audiences.
He's pretty accessible.
Yeah. I watched, actually, it's funny, it's really funny you bring that up. I watched Patton's 1996, or 97, One Night Stand on HBO last night. And it's still Patton, but you can tell, like, he doesn't have that fan base of us yet.
Yeah.
So he's got to make that shit... really fucking accessible. This is when he was still doing the Jim Carville bit.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Come on down to Carville ice cream when you just get cookie pussy. Fudgy the whale. Fudgy the whale. Like just the leprechaun that's like just get the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
Well, it's so weird, like, because being...
And now he does, like, hard nerd
bits.
Well,
what's good about him is he does hard nerd bits, but it's sprinkled in with very accessible comedy.
Yeah, like the one that I always think of when I think of him is the one where he's talking about like having shitty superpowers, and he's like Jesus would have such a hard time getting into superhero team because the X-Men after fighting Magneto isn't gonna need like if he's at the like audition for the X-Men and he's like, well what can you do? Well, I can take this one sandwich. And I can turn it into a lot of sandwiches. And then they're like, well, you think we need like 5,000 sandwiches after we battle Magneto? No, get out of here. Go to the Avengers. They'll take you. They have a fucking archer. Like, get out of here with that shit. Like,
they recruited Sporting Goods.
Yeah, like, they recruited Dick Sporting Goods.
Yeah, and, like the way they play tetherball.
I'm a killer tetherball player. Yeah, like, and that's... it's funny because before I was like really into comic books and the
just
more,
got way too. I've been watching Supergirl way too much. Yeah. I don't know why this just popped in my head, but I just got a visual of Superman and Supergirl playing tetherball with the moon around the earth.
Yeah, I'm kids with the giant dicks. Ever since Colin said that, it's all I can think of.
I'm sorry, the funniest thing that's ever come out of my mouth. Nambler.
Nambler! Oh my god.
No, but like, it's funny because before I got super deep into comic books and stuff and like my nerd reference game was not as high, like I didn't notice all the fucking ridiculous references to it that are out there. And like once I started reading more comics
like
and stuff.
A game.
Yeah,
people
but
like to nest it into things.
Well, like because I was watching Supernatural and they have that one Batman reference, and I was just like so taken aback.
They got a bunch of Wedge references.
Yeah, they do. They have Wedge Antilles references and
all
that shit.
Like if you go through and look at the names that Dean gives.
Oh,
like,
they're either all like famous band guys.
Yeah.
Or like guys from like Death Leopard and
Wedge.
Shit
like what's your name?
Wedge Antilles. He gives the Star Wars reference, and then there's the one episode. It's the Luck episode where he has like the Lucky Rabbit's Foot or whatever, and he like throws. Like, he comes into a room, And, like, the luck pendant gives him all the luck in the world. So he, like, he knocks, like, three dudes out without, like, touching them and then throws a pencil into the barrel of a gun and turns and goes, I'm Batman. And, and like, I wouldn't...
Which is funny, because he did the voice of Batman in Batman Year One.
Yeah. Which
but,
is,
you know...
Yeah.
But I never would have appreciated that as much as I do now before.
I think it's interesting because I think the reason there's so much nerdy stuff nested into entertainment stuff is because... Nerdy things are generally sketched out ideas as opposed to fleshed out ideas.
Yeah.
So comic books, it's like, hey, you want to bang out a comic book in a week? Because guess what? That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
So you get idea after idea after idea, and they don't come to fruition. And then you see, like, early sci-fi novels and fantasy novels didn't have... People didn't have weren't getting paid enough to flesh out full ideas.
So it's like people picking up pieces of things.
and... Comedy, like, you know, true comedy nerds really appreciate that, like, that open mic aesthetic and watching the iterative process, and I think that's why you see, maybe not quite that level, but no, but you follow, I mean, it's, you know, like, okay, so-and-so did this joke here, and then later on you see, okay, this is two specials later, they're revisiting this joke, they've put this spin on it, now it's a different thing, and you're watching them flesh out that
when
idea.
When I saw Mulaney, he was still bringing back, like, that Donald, like, the Trump material that he had, like, on, I think it was New in Town, or maybe, no, it was the top part, whatever his first album was.
a really good demonstration of evolution of bits is definitely Eddie Izzard.
Yes. Yeah,
like, if you can string them together in editing.
Yeah,
and it would be almost seamless because of the way he evolves and workshops his process. His workshop process is
incredible. No matter what anybody says.
Quick,
okay, go ahead.
I think the reason you see so much nerdy stuff in pop culture stuff like that is because it's a breeding ground for creativity.
Yeah.
Because it is just idea, 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 and that's where you learn a lot of basic concepts about the artistic process.
Yeah, it's funny to me because like. In terms of the Eddie Izzard thing, I don't care what anybody says. There's a lot of people who aren't really a fan of like his particular style of comedy because it's very unique and it's very him. And like, there's not really anybody who does. He's a history comic. That's really what he is. And like, the guy is so clean.
I'll take the chicken.
Yeah.
Well, that's not an option. Like, and he's so fucking clean. Mm-hmm. Even when he forgets what he's talking about, still clean.
Yeah, well,
it's
that's
still
like,
clean.
Yeah, that's the moment where you immediately go to like fuck, you know. Yeah,
well,
he does that
thing
swears.
Where he goes ah, da, 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 ba, ba, what are we talking about? Like, and then he'll hum and kind of sing to himself and does weird noises with his mouth and then you'll see him immediately click into remembering what he was talking about and go fucking squirrels and lipstick. That's what it was.
And it
like,
feels intentional. It plays as on purpose,
and it's because. A lot of like kind of slapsticky stuff anyway, like when he talks about sawing a plank of wood in half,
very,
he does the
punching an orangutan.
Yeah,
and it, like that's like he is incredibly organic.
Yeah,
and that is something I'm so jealous of because I haven't gotten that.
Well, because to him it's just talking.
Yeah,
it's just talking for him.
That's how I feel. Like, you know, like Ryan Higgins. Mm-hmm. You've seen Ryan Higgins. Mm-hmm. You know who Ryan Higgins.
He was supposed to come to the NCSA open mic that night, it was JD and. Nicholas Cartwright came.
Okay.
That kid's fucking funny.
Cartwright?
Anyway, yeah.
Dude, yeah. The first time I saw him, I was like, is this guy of 8? Is this guy 20?
Yeah.
He's just like shit-faced. Like, all the time. And you think he's like 12.
And he
and, like,
murders.
Dude, the past like couple times I've seen him, man, he has just been...
His bit about his dad. His dad's British.
Yeah.
And he does this bit about how he gets in trouble just to have his dad yell his name because it sounds so cool. Nicholas Peter Cartwright! It's the fun, like, it murders. Like, it was so good.
Man, I'm really looking forward to getting a first shift job at my factory so I can start coming to open mics, man. Like,
open mics
I miss
are
that.
Fun, dude.
Like, I would just come sit in the audience most of the time, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I just don't know if I really want to try
my
hand.
And everybody thinks I'm, all the comedians that we hang out with think I'm crazy for it because they're like, why would you want to come to an open mic if you're not doing comedy? Like...
Because it's funny.
Because we're comedy fans, and without comedy fans, we don't have an audience to perform for. So,
I mean, it's like a wide, you know, spectrum as far as quality of mics, I feel like. I mean, like, I like just about every Greensboro mic. I feel like it's always a pretty
I need
good
to
time.
Come to, I need to do an away game. I really do.
Yeah, well, even, like, Hoots. Like, if, I don't know, I'm... This is going to sound like I'm talking shit regionally about places.
Please, no. I mean,
if you're going to say Charlotte's shitty, I've heard.
Oh, well, I am. You took the words out of my mouth also. But, like, I haven't really been to any mics there, but it's mainly just coming across comics out of town from Charlotte that I know. And but the triangle mics sometimes are a huge toss-up. Sometimes it's, like, fucking torture. Just, like, you'll see, like, people get up, like, it'll, like, people that have, like, been watching, you know, 10 people go up, then they go up, and they're like, I forgot. What are you doing in the back the whole time?
For the last literal hour.
Like, I appreciate that you watched me, but, like, you were still writing in your notebook about something,
like I watched like, you solid minute of, like, I can't remember, then just talk, just...
You walked
or get off the stage!
Yeah. Like
this guy with the cane!
When you signed up for the mic, I watched you. There was nobody there. You signed up seventh!
Yeah, I've always kind of found that to be a little weird, like, watching regional comedy and, like, seeing the difference and stuff. Because our friend who we talked to yesterday about comedy, like, and doing comedian stuff, he talked about how he hates performing in Charlotte because there's not really any good mics. And we were like, dude, just fucking come to the Triad. Triad's got great open mic shit. Colin is a perfect example of somebody who, like, who can show you places to just go around and watch good mics because he's been to a ton of them.
Yeah.
Like, and all you have to do is just ask us to hook you up with Colin because Chris and I don't have time for it.
That's also an important thing, I think, for anybody listening at home that wants to be involved in any scene, even as a fan, like... If you go to a thing, even if it's not good, and talk to people, there are people there who are connoisseurs of that scene locally, period. Whether it's music, whether it's comedy, whether it's art, whether it's anything that has like a local scene, people know about it, you know.
You can kind of see, you know, over time the mic schedule as far as, you know, like you can right now, like where we're living right now, you could get up any night of the week. Like everything.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
NCSA or NYP
on Tuesday. There's a mic in Holly Springs if you want to go to the asshole of North Carolina.
NYP's an awesome mic too, dude.
I really like NYP. I haven't been to back to the School of the Arts in a while, but like...
If you go to NYP anytime before 1 a.m., after 1 a.m.
It's like
people set their faces on fire.
Spots.
But
it's like the, yeah.
I've heard that... When you do the NYP mic, sign up early because by the time people start to get drunk, they want music.
It's also, yes and no. It's a mixed mic. And like, God, 95% of the people are on point. It's spoken word, it's music, it's people do like B-boy dancing and shit like that. People
it's a true open mic.
I really
comedy
yeah, that's why I
and
like
everything's everybody's good, man. Like, even the comedy that's bad, you can tell it's somebody's first time and they've got like the right energy. And when the music's not quite on point, you can tell people you're, like, working through stuff. But it's always entertaining. Like, it's never... I'm never upset by anything that happens there, for the most part.
I have to say...
And then you've got... Where else? Wednesdays, Holly Springs. Thursdays,
Idiot
Box. Idiot
Box. We can also do... If you get trying to get you up early, you can do, like, Idiot Box at 8, then Laughing Gas is at 9, so you can go double dip on Thursdays.
See, I mean, if I wanted to, I could get up 7 times a week. 8,
yeah.
If I wanted
and
to. If I had
like, that's the secret, man. When people are like, what do I need to do to get better? It's just like, just get up as much as possible.
Work.
It's writing. It's writing as a part of it, but it's also just being comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? Like.
I'm still not comfortable.
Yeah, no, like, dude, I was nervous as shit last night. Like, I don't know if it was just the setting, how great the bands were beforehand, knowing I was last.
That's gotta
like,
be.
They're just like, well, it was already, like,
that's
much
gotta
of the crowd was gone.
Really weird to be a comedian closing a night of music.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, Trendy came up, did, like, a couple minutes, Pat, then the first band, and then, you know, kind of three bands at that point.
I mean, it's one of the things is that, like, regardless...
The comedy burlesque shows are also fantastic.
Oh, dude, those are the most fun. I feel like I said that in a way, like, this guy's creepy.
No, it's fun. All the burlesque girls are fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, they're super cool.
And there's
and
some material there to work, like, there's good...
Yeah, and that's the one good thing about the local burlesque troupe, at least, and I assume probably the modern burlesque scene, is They set their routines up to say something. It's not just, it's not stripping. It's the same, it's like alt comedy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's no, that same kind of like, yeah, we're going to tell a story. We're going to send a message through dancing around, taking our clothes off. It's good.
It's funny because, like, I was thinking about what you were saying about, like, it's all about being comfortable and stuff, and, like, part of it is about writing. And I feel like even if you're good at writing jokes, delivery is so fucking important.
Oh, I know, man.
Because, like, if you have the greatest joke in the world and you just fuck it up by a two-second pause where there shouldn't be one.
Like, if even less than a second.
Yeah, you know? Like, and if you just mess it up by one tiny little beat, like, the joke just doesn't play.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so hard if you stutter over a joke, which I've done before just talking to my friends, and then I'm like, it's not funny anymore.
That's
like, it can't be funny now because I choked on my speech.
Where there's like, it's like a 5-minute bit where there's like one line that like is like, it gets my dick hard. Like, it's my favorite. And like, I just totally glossed over it or like fucked it up. And, like, I'm just so mad.
And then you can't, and then once you gloss over it, you can't work your way back.
No, like, no, exactly. Because
everybody knows.
Yeah.
There was this moment when you were doing the back cuckolding, like, bit.
Oh, my God.
And, like,
I don't even remember. That was, like, seriously, like, one of my first things ever.
Well, like, you were doing it, and we were at the open mic Laughing Gas.
Yeah.
And like when you got up there,
that.
You turned really? In.
Yeah.
We have it actually on that iPad.
It's on mine.
I think it's on yours.
Yeah.
But, like, the funny thing though is that when you got up there, I was like, that doesn't even seem like Reed.
Yeah.
Like, you seemed like a different dude. And part of me in my head, I was like, maybe it's just like how he gets in like the chill zone when he's doing comedy. And then the other part of me was like, he's got a drink in his hand.
Yeah, you were like,
I think you were pretty fucked up.
You had you got off stage, you're like, I just had like four whiskey genders before I got off stage.
Yeah, no. Like, it helps a lot, you know,
he was,
sometimes.
Well, and it was funny though, because like I was watching you do the bit, and like you had told us the actual joke before, but like I noticed that it was slightly different, and there was like just one line that I remembered you saying in the first one that killed me, that just wasn't in it the second time, and I was like, I was waiting for it, and I was like, fuck, it's not in there! But like, and it still was just as funny,
yeah.
I just, that was like the line that stuck out to me the most, and then like, I was like, oh, he cut it! He just cut that line out. Whatever, fuck it. Like, it's fine.
Back opening joke? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you even do that joke anymore?
No,
really?
No, it's like,
too old now.
It's like kind of, it's old kind of, and I don't do a lot of sex stuff anymore. That souns, I'm talking about my personal life, that'd be real sad. You know? Like, I don't know, I've just tried to move away from the whole just like, come, shit. I don't know, like, I just feel like there's a hackiness in just gross out sex.
Yeah,
but that,
we see it.
Yeah.
A lot.
I mean, it's
know?
Like even with this whole Amy Schumer thing. It's like most of it, like most of the jokes that she's being accused of stealing, it's just...
It's hacky blue
blue shit.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Apparently there's a story behind Amy Schumer stealing jokes, but I don't know.
She's been like, it's coming, like there are just as many people defending her as are accusing her, and it looks really bad.
Yeah.
But... I don't know where I stand on it. Like,
well, I mean,
there's nothing new under the sun anyway, though.
Nah, that's bullshit. That's a conversation for another time. But the bigger thing is, if it's a hacky joke and she's stealing a hacky joke, then...
It's still a hacky joke, regardless.
Maybe it is original. Maybe she thought of that, but so did 30 other people.
Yeah.
I mean, but I see what you're saying, I see what you're saying, Alex. It's like, you know, like, there's...
I just made Batari just shake his head at me.
you're just offended Batari.
Batari looks up.
Vape.
Well, like, Batari looks up, and Colin just has a fucking piece of paper towel in front of his face, and he's just blowing into it, and there's just a little bit of smoke coming through it. And Batari just looks up, and, like, Colin pulls the fucking paper towel down, and Batari just lifts his hands. He's like, the fuck are you? What?
Hey, I don't know if that's hot in the streets right now.
That's what's good in the hood.
Is that what's good in the hood? Is that what's hot in the streets?
I don't know if that's hot in the streets. In the hood. I don't know.
You just blow through it like your Jasmine and Aladdin.
I'm going to go home and be like, baby, give me a napkin. Let me show you something.
You've been hanging out with the white people too.
Dude, I'd say one of the funniest nights we've had in a long time was Matari's wedding night after, like, after we got done with the reception and everything. He came back with some friends back to my parents' house to just have, like, a little get-together. And that was super fun, and I miss Kristen and Dustin.
Yeah,
those dudes are great. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to come up soon. Hopefully around Easter, hopefully.
That'd be awesome. And that was where the hot in the streets thing started. Girl sitting on the porch, the girl sitting on the porch was like, I'm cold. I need to go get a scarf. And I was like, what, scarves? Is that what's hot in the streets now? Is that what's good in the hood? And like, Matari just goes, what? For the next, like, 3 months I saw Matari, he said that to me at least 3 times a day.
Hey,
like,
just find the most, like, banal things.
Hey, man, I got my kids doing it right now. And
Hashtag hot in the streets.
Hashtag hot in the streets.
Those inflatable swimmies, that's what hot in the streets right now.
That go-gurt. That was good in the hood.
Yo, man, is that updo what's hot in the streets right now?
I like how Matari is just like our Reggie Watts right now, but he's just drawing
instead of doing music.
We're going to play Super Fights. We need to do it now.
Let's do Super Fights.
Okay, so...
Super Fights!
All right, so who is it? Is it you versus Reed? Is
that I'll go against Reed.
Okay.
All right, so here's the way Super Fights works for those of you who are newer to listening to the podcast. Super Fights is a thing that Chris came up with a little while ago, and wait. Perfect. What Super Fights is essentially...
every time you say Super Fights, I'm sorry.
Okay. So what it is essentially there are two players and then moderators, and the two players are going to choose characters in anything...
Super-powered heroes.
Well, don't have to be super-powered, just somebody that's like... really relevant and that you
that's
can
true.
Like
okay. Could so be you Abraham
could
be, Lincoln
could be Mary Poppins.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody a famous character.
A fictional character.
Because Abraham Lincoln was no, he's real.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's real.
But you
right,
but
no, no, no like, I'm just fictionalized weird version. Like conspiracy. I'm like, nah man, it's all fucking ruse.
Yeah.
It's like, Stanley Kubrick.
So for instance, if I chose Abraham Lincoln, I could talk about his vampire hunting abilities
yeah.
and that
yeah.
would be fair
okay.
game.
Yeah. So
Stanley Kubrick really slipped freeing slaves. It wasn't
so
he filmed it.
Was that a moon landing reference? That's familiar.
I got questions.
That was awesome.
If the earth is round, then how come all the buildings in New York City aren't tilted?
So, okay. So back to describing this stupid fucking game that we have. All right. So the two people who are the contestants on the game are each going to choose a character that...
Sorry, apparently it works when you touch it anywhere.
Good. I'm
so
taking this from
touching
you.
It. He's just like...
I'll turn it off.
Okay, so...
Matai's ready. Matai's waiting on us.
I know. So what's going to happen is that Chris and Reed are both going to choose characters they're familiar with. What we're going to do as the moderators is we're going to come up
can
with
we
a
write them down?
Sure. We're going to come up with a scenario for you guys to essentially debate over who would be the better at doing this thing. Not going to be just like who would win in a fight.
So it's not
a
head-to-head thing.
It kind of is, actually.
Okay.
it's going to be 4 to 5 rounds, depending on how it all works, usually 5 rounds. You're going to have your opening arguments, which is you're going to describe why your character would be the best at doing this thing. You're going to have a prep round, where you tell us all the things you're going to prepare to do this thing. You're going to have an action round. Your action round is basically going
to
be...
I've got my character locked in.
You're going to have an action round, which is where you start to do the thing and describe how you would do it the best.
Okay.
And then you have what is referred to as, what is it, our spoiled round? Or what is it, the sabotage round.
Sabotage
round is essentially where you fuck with your opponent and try to make it so he or she cannot do as well as you do.
Okay.
And then you have a closing arguments round, which is you're telling us why you think you did the best. One of the ones that we've had before, just to give everybody an example, is we had 1966 Robin versus Doctor who would be better as a as a Pizza Hut manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like to see that a lot.
And we also had Venom versus Tony Stark, who would be better at giving a Birds and Bees speech?
So, Batman versus Spider-Man, who would be better at dunking an Oreo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's really banal stuff.
Yeah,
so like, I've written down my character.
What we're going to do is we're probably actually going to take a quick pause here.
Let's take a pause.
We're going to pause it really quick. We're going to come up with our characters and our scenario, and we're going to come back and we're going to get right into it. So hold on just a second. And we're back. So we have our two contestants. They have both chosen their Super Fights characters. And we have a scenario. So Reed Pegram versus Chris Nielsen. Reed Pegram has chosen the one and the only Batman.
The Bat.
The Bat. And our wonderful friend Chris has chosen Mega Man and is Swift?
His dog Rush.
And his dog Rush. Because Rush is essentially just weapons. So
springs and rockets.
Yeah. And Colin and I will be judging them on who we think does a better job doing landscaping for Thanos in Super Fight.
Opening arguments. Rochambeau. On go. Rochambeau, go.
Rochambeau, go.
Opening arguments go to the Bat.
The Bat.
And you can choose to do this in character or not. It is up to you.
You want me to do it as Batman?
If you feel it is, it is your prerogative.
An Affleck Batman?
Yeah. You can do it however you want.
Go on and
The precedent has been set by Michael Urie.
Oh, dude, Michael Urie did...
I don't think I can do it. Mega
did fucking 1966... Did 1966 Robin.
Batman.
Or no, he did Robin. He was 1966 was Robin. Batman. Was he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just killed Burt Ward.
Oh, dude, just like fucking... He killed it. He was so good.
We were dying.
It was amazing. But anyway, so you can choose to do it as Reed Pegram describing why you think Batman would be the best, or you can be Batman.
Reed Pegram.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
I might throw out a Gordon every once in a while. God. The annuals.
You can do your opening arguments and tell us, Reed Pegram, why you think Batman would be much better than Mega Man at making landscaping for Thanos.
Well, I think he would be better just because there's a shaky alliance in some canon between... Oh my god, this is already like terribly nerdy. Between him and Poison Ivy. Of course, you know, the plant villainess. Why am I... You should know this, people out there. And
shut up!
As being like, you know, a master of plants, as being that plants are like you know what
she
landscaping
does.
Is. I feel this is like more me struggling to like explain landscaping. I feel like, but in that shaky alliance, I think he could trick Poison Ivy into actually killing Thanos. With his own landscaping.
And then Batman.
He's gonna do the job the Avengers never fucking could.
Yeah, no.
Because Batman!
He's like still gonna be like sitting down in the lawn chair and he's just gonna get like fucking
drinking
little shot worst eaten. I guess there should be is there more points. I feel like you have a lot more like a better argument than I do already.
That's fine. That's okay. Good. That's a good opening argument. Now, Chris Nielsen, what in the world makes you think that Mega Man would be better at making landscaping for Thanos than the Bat?
Well, so Mega Man only really has one ability, and that's the ability to absorb the powers of the robot masters that he's defeating, including Cut Man, Stone Man, Wood Man, Plant Man, Chill Man, Concrete Man, and Solar Man.
Are those legit?
I think those robot masters would make a fantastic... Their abilities of those robot masters would make for a fantastic landscaping gig.
The lines change, guys. I'm. It's now Mega Man plus three. I'm taking action, though.
No, that was a great argument, Chris. I really like that, actually.
I didn't think this out far enough.
No, this is my first time.
To be fair, Chris does have a distinct advantage considering he came up with the game.
Yeah.
So, we're going to give our first action round to Batman. Batman, this is your prep round. Tell us how Batman would prepare to make this amazing garden utopia for his buddy Thanos.
Well, I feel like
I want it classy. But like, you know...
This is Thanos talking.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if you were doing Batman.
What a kind of classy, you know, but
still rustic, and in keeping with the natural area that I have, you know, but, you know what's best, go nuts.
I wanted to really look, you know, like ladies to love it. Really just death. Really just...
mostly death.
Lots of wanton destruction.
And if I have my way, Wade Wilson's head on a pike.
Oh, that's good, man.
I got cock-blocked by Canadian piece of shit.
That's great. First Alanis Morissette, now death. What the fuck? Right, so. I don't know why Thanos has this voice, but we're going to go with it.
Kermit 3.0. Okay, so...
Give me my money! Where's my money, bitch?
So, Reed, tell us how Batman begins to prepare for doing a beautiful garden landscape.
Well, I think first in recruiting Poison Ivy to this task, he extorts her in some way. You know, he probably bullshits and then like, well, if you don't do it, I'm gonna poison all the plants, bitch. All of them. And if he gets her on his side, then he can convince maybe Thanos to be like, yo, you know, it would really make these plants like the shit if you put all the Infinity Gems throughout the whole, what would it be called? I don't know, like...
Topiaries?
State topiaries? Yeah.
We'll call it an aviary. No, that's for birds.
No, that is, no.
An aviary is for birds.
Terrarium.
Terrarium.
Not
terrarium.
For reptiles.
No, it's fine. Giant terrarium, because there's clearly a T-Rex in there.
Or tiny arms.
And, he convinces him to make, like, I feel like it's just me, like, writing it.
That's fine. Go ahead, man. That's your thing.
Him just convincing him to put him, all the Infinity Stones in all these topiaries. And then basically using Poison Ivy to use these topiaries with Infinity Stones against Thanos. Because I feel like that's what Batman would do. He'd be like, well, I gotta get rid of this piece of shit. Demigod asshole.
That's fair. That's a fair way of looking at Batman's thought process. So, Christopher, please inform us on how your prep round goes for Mega Man.
Okay. Are we operating under the assumption that he is the ultimate Mega Man at this point? This is Mega Man after...
I was actually gonna say, I think I could feasibly collect like 5 powers in another round, something like that.
Okay, so, that's fine.
Okay, so Mega Man in a act of side-scrolling deliciousness is going to defeat Stone Man, defeat Wood Man, defeat Chill Man, Plant Man, and...
Oh, he's got one more. Let's see what he comes up with. Chris, you got 10 seconds. 9.
Let's do... Oh,
man.
7, 6, 5.
Cut Man.
Cut Man it is! With 5 seconds left on the clock. So, go over those one more time. Whose powers do you have?
Cut Man, Stone Man, Wood Man, Plant Man, Chill Man.
Okay, so... So, your prep round has consisted of you going around and gathering these powers. Do you have anything else you want to get? Or is that just... Are you good? Are you fucking solid?
I'm also going to grab a couple E-Tanks.
E-Tanks?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Batman, it is your first action round. So, how are you going to start going about building this amazing, fantastical Garden of Infinity?
Well, first, it's a good name. Garden first of Infinity. I was just going to get, you know, Poison Ivy just do all of it. You know, just, like, she's going to really do all of, like, the heavy lifting, I feel like. I'm just going to, like, wait in the shadows and look real cool, you know? Dude, I feel Chris, like, about to just destroy me. There's, like, this total anxiety that I know I'm not doing this right.
I know it's coming.
Oh.
See, I'm just going to tell you, this is why you should listen to the podcast more. Yeah. So you could have been ready by hearing our previous rounds.
No, right. And then, all right, you know, I'm, like, trimming some stuff with some batarangs, I guess. You know, trying to do a little bit of work.
You can do whatever you want.
anything you want to get this to get this garden done.
Because yeah, now I feel like it's almost more like it's just
also artistic nice. Choices are important.
Yes,
really,
because you're thinking about who you're making
Thanos
it for.
Thanos is judging it.
Yeah, Thanos is judging it.
No, that's right. Yeah. All right, so we're making these topiaries into people dying because I feel like that would that really spices up any Titan's home, just any Titan's front yard, and. This is how I feel when I do improv. I feel like I'm like, all right. So, like Thanos during this whole process, he just like.
Oh, he's chilling on his deck with like a red mocha cooler.
Okay.
And he's just kind of looking out on you guys, like, let's see what they got. See what what each of them brings to the table.
Do I have
sitting
to, like,
there sipping on his big ass martini glass? That's actually it's not actually a martini glass. What it actually is, it's like it's a giant bowl that he stuck on like the end of a broom.
Yeah, and let's for our listening public, what is a red mocha cooler?
A red mocha cooler is a is actually a drink that was invented by the Venture Brothers creators, and what it is it's I believe it's Kahlua. It's Kahlua red fruit punch Kool-Aid and a dash of Hershey's syrup.
Yep.
Ooh. For that mocha-ness.
Red mocha cooler. That's
anyway,
what it is.
So like as like I'm distracting Thanos, he lets us have the stones, right? Is that he thinks it's a good idea?
Well, you tell us, does Batman get those fucking stones?
I think he convinces him to like, who needs a gauntlet when you can just use it from your front yard? And, like, so she's making these hedges, fucking grass things. Vines. Flowers. I'm just going to start saying.
plant things.
Like, plant kind of things. And, I take the stones, specifically the Power Stone, and attach it to a Venus flytrap-esque topiary that, like, is going to be the centerpiece of this landscaping.
Power Stone centerpiece, got it.
Which I feel will give it, power. And
Power! No power.
And as I'm also doing that, I am taking the. Is the time gem, right?
There is a time gem, yes.
I am putting it in the Batmobile.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh. All right. Do you wanna call that your action round? Or you got a little more?
Wait. So do I get another action round?
You get a sabotage round
and a closing argument.
Yeah. So you got another round. And if we still think that we need a little bit more, we might give you guys a short fourth.
So like in this round, would I say that we use all the plant life to attack Thanos, including
that's the next round. Okay. That's the next round.
Well then, yeah, I'm done.
So Christopher.
Okay,
Christopher.
Mega Man's gonna hop on Rush's back. Rush is gonna turn into a jet. Mega Man's gonna run around. Popping Stone Man's ability, he's going to lay down a nice retaining wall first, right? he's going to switch over to Wood Man's ability. He's going to start laying down wood logs like it's Minecraft, right? And then he's going to go up a little bit farther, and he's going to pop out Plant Man. And Plant Man is a flower shield, but he's going to take these flowers from the shield and just kind of throw them and make these giant floral trees, right? And then he's going to use Cut Man's scissor attack, and he's throwing scissors at it. He's just flying around and rushes back, and he's cutting it into the shape of the decapitated Avengers at the top of the trees.
Pandering! I love it!
All right.
Okay, get more. More? Or are we good?
That's what's hot in the streets.
That is what's hot in the streets, dude!
We'll let it sit there for right now.
We'll sit there for that. We'll all right, you know what? Reed, you're looking over. And Batman is seeing all this fucking like crazy shit going up for Mega Man on his weird fucking red dog.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, Mega Man's putting out a lot of shit. What would Batman do?
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Can I take one more action?
Hold on.
Deliberate. No, you declared.
Okay.
Declared done.
Sorry.
And apparently he looks really confused right now. Because he's like, oh, what do I do? And you notice an opportunity to fuck his shit up.
Yeah.
Fuck it right up!
So what does Batman do to fuck Mega Man's day up?
I use... Wait.
Remember,
he uses the weight ability.
He
holds his action.
I meant to also put the space gym, space and time gym in the Batmobile.
All allowed if I can take another action.
You can do it now.
Okay.
You can put it in there now.
And you've that's got, my action?
No, you've got time.
Okay, I use space and time, and I use the Batmobile to just, ink. Like, not even, like, you know how, like, Nightcrawler can't see where he teleports, he can teleport, like, into a wall?
Yeah.
I use the space gem in the Batmobile to just make it materialize around Thanos, and then just send him to a weird...
To Banffland?
It's either, like, are we using DC or Marvel? Would it be, like, the Negative Zone or, like, where they keep Zod?
Hold on. We're gonna check. Phantom Zone. Negative Zone. Phantom Zone.
I teleport him to the Phantom Zone.
So, really, a cellophane square that spins around in space.
Yeah.
So, okay. Why do you send Thanos there?
Because he's evil, I guess. You know? I feel like that's...
You don't want to fuck with Mega Man. You'd rather fuck up Thanos. You know what? I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect
that would be Batman's mentality.
I respect your devotion to Batman.
I like the honor.
I respect it. I do. So, is that your full action? You going to keep doing anything else? Are you good?
I think, and then... What should I do with Mega Man, man? I think, I don't...
My Batman brain is like...
No, right? Do you have any? I just want to know if you have an idea.
Six,
I don't want you to help me. I just want to know if you have ideas.
Four.
Three. I use the Venus flytrap to eat Mega Man. But the power.
To clamp out to just
power
to just
stone and like powered.
To get him? To just, it just like uproots and just fucks him?
Just gets him.
Fucks him right. Literally or fucks him figuratively?
What, like proper fact?
Yes, right, Tommy.
Yes.
First action, pop an E-tank.
Pop an E-tank.
Back to full health. Second action, I'm going to use Chill Man's Chill Wave Attack to cast it at his Venus flytrap to encase it in ice. Third action, I'm going to pop Plant Man's Plant Shield to protect myself for 25% damage.
Damn.
Good lord.
Damn.
You pop out of the fucking Venus flytrap, and you look over at Batman, and Batman's just sitting there like, oh, come on, man. And then you look over at the deck, and there's no fucking Thanos. What do you do? Because while he was attacking you with his plant, Thanos just disappeared, and you're like, "What the fuck, man?"
Okay, what are the gems, and where are they at?
Yeah, no,
you got the time gem and the space
power
gem.
Space gem. There's the soul gem. Reality gem.
What's the reality gem do?
Reality gem is like mind control and shit. I think. No, mind gem. Mind gem is mind control.
Yeah,
reality gem, I think,
it's basically a wish. Reality gem is like a wish.
Cool. I'm going to run up to the reality gem. I'm going to put my hand on it, absorb its power, and I'm going to bring Thanos back into our existence.
Oh, you dick.
Colin, do we want one more action round, or do we want closing arguments?
I want closing arguments.
We want closing arguments. Read motherfucking Pegram.
Pegram!
Please tell us why you believe.
Shout out to Cable Wilkinson.
Pegram. Why you believe that Batman deserves to bring home the fucking belt.
So I have no action after those. He's just now Thanos is back.
Thanos is back.
He can get... I'll tell you what, he went first, so he can get a quick action.
You can do an immediate action.
Yeah.
You can get one more immediate action. Think about it. You gotta really take this one to heart, man.
I'm going to use the reality gem, right?
Yes.
You got mind gem, and you have the, what is it, the speed gem? No. There's one more.
Well, I grab...
Soul gem. You have the soul gem, and you have the mind gem.
I grab the space gem.
Out of the Batmobile?
Oh, wait, you're right. Well, like, if he comes back, like, yeah, what happens to the Batmobile now? Is it, like, did he just pull him out of the Batmobile, or is now the Batmobile
I just
back?
Brought Thanos back.
And it's Thanos. Thanos busts out of the Batmobile?
That's a judge question.
Bust out of the Batmobile? Yes or no? Yay or nay?
He's also like, does the Batmobile come back or not? Technically, because he just materializes inside of it. But I feel like that wouldn't really
kill Thanos.
It wouldn't really kill Thanos. I feel like you'd just,
well,
just
Batman wouldn't kill Thanos to begin with.
Yeah, it's true.
He would banish him to the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, which he did.
So okay, do we want to make him have to use the Soul Gem or the Mind Gem? Is that what we want to do?
Yeah,
I feel like that's what. Yeah. So Soul Gem and Mind Gem are the only things you got left. You got to choose something. You got to get that shit done. Ready? 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 Ready?
Mind Gem.
Go. Mind Gem.
Use the Mind Gem, and I. It's your robot.
Yep.
God damn it! Can I realize this and then be like, yell, God damn it, and then throw it and then grab another gem?
No. You have right. The mind gem.
Is it a cyborg look up and, though? Or is he full?
Is he full robot?
He's full robot. X
is the cyborg. The
fucking X.
So you got 10 seconds
all right.
To decide on an action.
So now I just have this mind gem.
You're holding it in your stupid fucking hand.
Stupid fucking hand. Seven. I use the mind gem on myself. To tell myself that killing is okay. And then I grab all of the mind's bombs out of my utility belt. Hurl them at Mega Man. But before I throw them at Mega Man, I grapple your last whatever fit you're
the... That's an opposed check.
That is an opposed check.
I'm just kidding.
You take.
All right, so he's...
Yeah, I throw those.
All right.
Still have the plant shield popped.
That's true.
Oh, damn it. Yeah,
but
he
is... But, I will say, severely damaged.
Yes, because it's only against 25% damage.
Yes. Okay.
So now the plant shield is gone.
Plant shield is gone.
Closing arguments.
Closing arguments. Reed, why do you think Batman deserves to take home the belt?
Because I got already a lot of sweet belts. I don't know.
It would look good at my belt wall.
Like my belt rack. I don't know why it's a rack. But, because... Shit. I almost know I've lost.
Well, list your accomplishments. What have you accomplished?
I unsuccessfully banished Thanos.
Hey, man.
But you did it. And that's more than the Avengers can say.
Looking at you, Cap.
I really wasted all of Poison Ivy's talents. I feel like, no, make them. Just make the plants, and I want to use the items, and then go fuck yourself. Because... I sacrificed my already unhinged sanity to make myself be cool with murder.
Okay.
Christopher.
I created a badass retaining wall with super sweet Minecraft 8-bit versions of the Avengers after they're dead. And let's not forget, how are you going to get paid by Thanos if he's in the Phantom Zone? I brought him back.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I will say this.
Deliberation.
That it is admirable that Batman
did... I also froze the plant that could have killed him as he walked out his front door.
That's true.
I do appreciate the fact of Batman not only trying to create the best, topiaries that he could, he's also trying to rid the world of an evil, genius, crazy titan. Which, that's very admirable. I will give him that.
I would say in the corner of Mega Man, I'd like to say that Mega Man was very much focused on the task.
Well, really, if we're going to give props to Mega Man, we might as well give props to Dr. Light, because he's the one.
but Mega Man was pretty focused on the task, and I feel like Mega Man did a really good job of utilizing the things he had around him. I feel like Mega Man was super prepared. I feel like Mega Man did a great job of explaining how Mega Man would really go about figuring this shit out, and he was very true to like Mega Man style. He was very resourceful, which
Mega
is
Man,
what Mega
but
Man is.
All Mega Man does, he's a biter. He just fucking takes everybody else's shit.
And actually, you know what? To be fair about for Batman's case in this, he actually did he did focus on shit he thinks Thanos would be cool with, and not only that, but like Poison Ivy, the entire time they were fucking with each other, that bitch was still growing stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
She was still out there, just like, yeah, this is cool, man. Look at all these pretty flowers and shit.
She's my employee at that point.
Like, yo, at that point in time, you do have to.
And
admit,
she's legally documented in the United States, and that's bringing jobs back to the country.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Well, she's a woman.
She's a look.
I'm paying her equally.
Look, she's equal pay. Look what we're covering here. Equal payment for women, bringing jobs back to the United States, and it's a work release program because you know that bitch is in jail. So she's giving light. He's giving.
She's Suicide Squad.
Work release.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so like, come on.
Just psychopaths picking up trash on the side of the road.
Mr. Zazz is just.
But
is now like cutting himself for every piece of trash.
But on the other hand, though, Mega Man did realize that this is a competition about how we feel that Thanos would enjoy his garden. And Batman was like, "Fuck that motherfucker! I don't even care about his opinion."
No, that's right. Like, I totally was not onto the task at hand. I was more about just.
I mean,
getting him the fuck.
You guys both had some great things, though. You did,
but you know.
But fuck Thanos.
Every time Granny Goodness wanted to show up and fuck shit up, Batman didn't follow the Justice League. He did his own thing.
It's true.
And 9 times out of 10, Tower of Babel notwithstanding,
yep.
It was the right thing to do. So, you know.
I mean, that's fair, but like, we are judging based on how we think Thanos would react, and I gotta be honest. I think Thanos would be pretty pissed about getting banished to the
I really think Thanos would be like, you know what? Fair fucking play. I'm an evil genius.
Okay.
I would try to banish me too.
So what are the votes? Are we
going to I'm actually, like, tight margin. I'm actually going to go with Mega Man.
I'm going to go with Batman.
Matari, tiebreaker. Who do you think did a better job convincing us that they did better at making Thanos' garden?
I think it was Mega Man. Reed, I love the stuff.
I love
the stuff, but it's just that Batman is gonna get mad and want to kill somebody over plants and over a garden.
And Mega Man doesn't have emotions.
my time is like the moment that Batman finally changes his way of being a good guy is because this fucking garden has to look good. That's the funny part about it. That's what I see. And Thanos is a. I'm drawing Thanos a R.I.P. as Tombstone. And in parentheses, he was innocent. He had nothing to do with it. Y'all just sent him.
He was sitting up there drinking red mocha coolers.
He was just framed by Darkseid.
Oh, yeah, that's just
the better version of himself.
Yeah, no.
Thanos is like, I got my money ready to pay y'all, and damn, where am I now?
He's over. He's in Apocalypse with Darkseid.
It's like, where the fuck? And Darkseid's just like, oh, this is gonna be fun.
And he's like, you're a shit. Just beats like, I've been meaning to do this forever. You're the shitty version of me.
And just kicks the ever living shit out of him.
Just Omega beams the shit out of him.
Darkseid is like, you should have just go to YouTube, man. Learn how to plant your old stuff.
You mean BoomTube? Comic book jokes, folks.
I know that.
That was good. That was good.
That was great.
Oh,
guys, that was a fantastic fucking round. I appreciate that. That was great.
Show.
Yeah, it's been good.
I want to put one thing out there that the whole time Reed was doing his thing, I was like, motherfucker, just call the living green. Just call him. Just call him.
I didn't even think why I didn't use Swamp Thing.
That's what I'm saying.
The greening of Gotham.
Just call the keeper of the green. Call fucking Swamp Thing. I was just sitting there the whole time. I was like, he's on your team, motherfucker. Like, think about it.
It's like y'all had a tiff one time, but it's cool now.
Even if I wouldn't have thought of that, like, could you have brought him in now? Is it bringing an outside source?
Dude, like having a Robin. That's what I was thinking about.
Robin is a teenager. He doesn't want to do yard work.
Robin could have.
So, you know, for future reference, generally the play to make is ask for way more than you think you can and let the judges decide where they knock it back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's how I got away with flying off with a ton
of
cigarettes.
We'll nerf you if we need to.
Yeah. No, man, like...
That was fun.
No, I like that a lot, man.
I think Reed's going to end up being, eventually, when we do that spin-off of this as a tournament, I think Reed's going to be part of it. And that should be very fun. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening in. Are we going to do picks and plugs?
No, let's just do real long.
Yeah, let's just... We're running about an hour and a half.
All right, cool. We'll just...
Come out to Hoots Monday nights.
Yes.
Monday nights. We'll be there.
I Hate Mondays open mic.
Starts at 9, correct?
Sign-up's at 8:30. Comedy starts at 9.
If you do 5,
you get a beer.
You get a beer. Like, you can literally do owl punks for 5 minutes.
But you have to try.
And if you do not, if I don't murder you.
Have to filibuster long enough to get a beer.
Yeah, no, as long as just Mr. Smith goes to Washington in a slightly humorous way for 5 minutes.
So it's an open mic, you just get on there for 5 minutes and that's it.
And you get a beer?
Yeah.
You get
a beer?
I'm down for that.
Yeah, no, I should totally come out.
Yeah. I've always wanted your money. I'm scared to go up there, man, but I'm scared, man. Like, if I go up there and I get bombed, I'm going to go home and kill myself.
If I'm not funny enough, my life is over.
Yeah.
Also, for you, those of you on the Greensboro side of things, February 13th, me and Reed are doing the annual anti-Valentine's Day show.
And what, that's the Tuba House?
That's the Tuba House, if you know where that is. If you don't,
let me get a slot.
Us.
I know you got a slot.
You got a slot?
No.
Trying to get that
think
slot.
Think I'm just handing out slots?
Dude,
I'm looking for a sweet promo.
Wait until, like...
Yes, look, keep an eye out for the sweet... Promos. Me and Reed are doing a promo together. That's my favorite part about this show.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, guys, from Name Redacted, I am Colin Norris.
Alexander Fulmer.
And I'm Chris Nielsen.
Check us out next week. We'll talk to you later. Go out and touch your butt.
Subscribe,
comment, rate, like. And we got Reed Pieger. Follow him on Facebook.
Matari Bane and pictures.
Matari Bane
awesome.
Media.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Go touch butts.